The reading today is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, and you can find this passage on page 1076 of the Church Bibles. John 10, beginning to read at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
This is one of the I am phrases that we see in John's Gospel, which are familiar, I suspect, to many of us, and utterly profound in terms of they paint word pictures for us about who Jesus is. And he makes a number of very profound categorical statements about who he is. I was having a chat with somebody just before the service, and they were saying that, I'm sorry, I can't be at a meeting this week because I'm somewhere else. And I sort of somewhat facetiously remarked that we're invited to be like Christ, but we want all of the omnis, omnipresent, omnipowerful, whatever else. We don't necessarily want the meekness and whatever else. So we want to be able to be everywhere and do everything, but we don't necessarily want to do the tough stuff. And what we have here actually is a statement saying Jesus is the good shepherd, and actually laced around this description of the good shepherd is sacrificial language, isn't it? About laying down and about protecting even if it's tough in comparison to the hired hand. And this odd set of phrases around verse 17 about laying down and taking up and authority to do both. Actually, at the heart of this reading is covenantal language about sacrifice and self-giving. But relational language. It's I am, Jesus is saying, and you are, as sheep, going to do this. And Jesus says, I am going to do lots of things under the guise and the description of Good Shepherd, and we're invited to do one thing. Did you spot it? One thing we're invited to do. Let me just... It's alluded to, but actually it's repeated in verse 27, which we didn't have read. So I lay down my life for the sheep, back of verse 15. I have other sheep, and not with my sheep pen. I bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. Yeah? They too will listen to my voice. So the illusion, the invitation in this covenantal relationship is that Jesus would do all of this great stuff as the good shepherd. And we're to listen. Follow. Obey. Actually, if you look at how listen and obedience is expounded in later on in John's Gospel in John 14. So let me just briefly, and you, many of you might have heard this before, just bounce down what a good shepherd looks like. And then we'll maybe talk about a little bit about what listening looks like. And it's fascinating in the juncture of the community's life here. Actually, that is sacrificial language and covenant language. And this allusion to other sheep. And they too will be listening. So, good shepherd. Now, fascinating that this is described as a good shepherd. Do you remember another story in the Gospels where somebody comes up to Jesus and says, good teacher? Yeah, do you know that bit? Do you know what Jesus' response to that is? Yeah, why'd you call me good? Nobody is good but God. Good shepherd, God shepherd. Inhabited in the title, this I am title, and the I ams, are, as you many of you will know, which actually go back to the Moses, I am who I am. It's God talk. I am the good shepherd. I am God, God shepherd. Fascinating, isn't it? So what's the God, God shepherd do? Well, as the description of the Good Shepherd goes on into verse 28-29, I will give them eternal life, verse 28. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Actually, protection is one of the key things, and hope for the future. That ultimate protection that we see in heaven and that we begin to experience here on earth. So protection, and that he is good. Where do we find other language in the Bible around Good Shepherd? We've just sung a song about that. Psalm 23, thank you. And we see within that psalm, actually, that he guides us. I love, actually, the way that modern hymn interprets that psalm. Even through the dark times. He will guide us. Part of the good, good shepherd, the God, God shepherd, is that sense of direction, even in challenging moments. And boy, has that been the experience of this community over this last chunk, hasn't it? Through some twists and turns and some difficult places and some difficult times. The good, good shepherd, in which whom we've put our ultimate hope and our ultimate protection lies, has promised to guide us. And my word, sometimes that takes us to surprising places, doesn't it? Now, elsewhere in the scriptures, we read of the image of shepherd. And Isaiah 40 is one of those. If I can quickly turn it up with my fingers to work. Isaiah 40, where the description of God and his sovereign power. Verse 10, it says the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. And it goes on from this sense of sovereign Lord and power. And to describe him as shepherd, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. A description of nurture and love. And indeed, actually, as we flick back to our passage in John's Gospel, not only is that sense of us to listen to, but that we are to know his voice is within that. A sense of relationship and nurture. That God loves us, and that we're invited to love him in response. And that love relationship is to be active and real. And the impetus for that is because Christ loved us first. And we see the nature and the tenor of that love of Christ, as I remarked at the beginning, in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sacrificial nature of the good God who gave everything, as we celebrated not many weeks ago at Easter. So a good shepherd who protects us and guides us and nurtures us, who self gives for us. And we're invited to listen. Listen to the shepherd who is good. I wonder what listening looks like for you. I was chatting with, again, somebody else before the service and saying a little bit about what I might say, and they reminded me of the story of Mary and Martha. Because I would suggest that's what good listening looks like. We live in a world of ought to's, which is frightening and demanding and overpowering. And you know what? We're good at ought to's around here. To live in Cheam and Banstead and this part of the southeast means we're pretty good at ought to's. We manage life quite well. We get to do stuff. You know, get lists done. Tick. Many of us are good at writing lists of lists. I'm very proud of my lists of lists. They're colour-coded too. You know? Got my stickies out today. Purple. For, I don't know why, just because I decided. But I think the challenge that I read in this scripture, and I think the challenge that I want to place to you today, especially in this phase of this community's life, is the challenge to listen. The challenge to be, not do. And in that becoming, especially as you make relationship with the community at Newark, to become the sheep in a newly gathered community, a new flock, and to listen to the good shepherd whose voice you know. Now, I know there's some challenge at the moment around, and Fiona no doubt will remind us of it at the annual meeting kind of bit, about the particular phase that we're invited to listen at the moment. But I want to just lay that on you. I want to lay that on me, actually, that challenge. Because the temptation to keep busy is so frighteningly attractive, but ultimately ends up ruining our relationship with God. Somebody wise once said, when your doing ends up ruining your being, maybe you have a problem. We have a good shepherd who loves us so much that he lays his life down for us. And that in him we have eternal hope. And he invites us to listen to him.